Well, again, it's a pleasure to be here at Bible Baptist Church. I wish Pastor Leithy could be here with us today, but he called me the other, I think it was Tuesday, and told me he had to go down to Brother John's. And I said, I understand. I look for an opportunity to see him again. I've met him a couple of times, met him at the fair here, but what a great privilege it is. And what he was talking about in youth class, they told me I had to end at 10:30. At 10:33, I said, what time I need to end? He said, 10:30. So I went ahead and closed it up real quick. They done set the clock 10 minutes forward. So I was out of time. But he said the teenagers must have done it. But it's a privilege to be here. Every time I show that video, I'm telling you, this burdens my heart. God's called us to that country of Bolivia, South America. I can't wait to get there. I was sitting there and I was looking for what God wanted me to do. God's called me to preach. And that's what I wanted to do foremost. I said, God, I don't want nothing else to do other than preach your word. Just like Jeremiah said, it burned within my bones. I was not satisfied unless I was telling somebody about that precious blood of Jesus Christ. I love the song we sung a minute ago. It washes away our sins. I don't know about you, but I don't know much blood that cleanses. Most blood I see stains. But Jesus Christ's blood cleanses my sins. And praise God for that this morning. But I was sitting there and I said, God, I do wherever you want me to do, go wherever you want me to go. But God, I just want you to be the one to show me. I don't want to do what Brian wants. I want to do what God wants. And I was praying about it, and I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I know I'm getting to serve God. I'm getting to preach in a nursing home every week. I'm getting to serve God here at Clearview Baptist Church. I'm getting to do all kinds of things. But God has still got a plan for me. He said, I know He does. He said, start praying about it. And I started praying. We was in a missions conference. And a man got up and he started saying, who will go anywhere, do anything God wants them to do? Would you raise your hand? That was on a Monday night. I couldn't keep my hand down. I had the hand up and I was like, man, come down, hand. I don't want you up right now. I mean, I might go somewhere they don't pump sunlight in. And I was sitting there and by Thursday night of that week, the preacher asked that same question again. And I couldn't stay seated. I was back towards the back. I was on staff at the church and I was the one keeping the people from leaving the building. No, notice I said the ones leaving from the building. I was going to close the line when they tried to walk by me. But we were sitting there and the Lord spoke to my heart and He burdened my heart for foreign missions. And He asked that preacher asked that question again and I couldn't make my way to that altar fast enough. My pastor met me halfway down the aisle. He says, Brian, I already knew. I said, well, why didn't you tell me? He said, I just told Kelly, my pastor's wife, this the other day. Spend as much time as you can with the Hollises. They won't be with us long. And I said, well, praise God. And I started asking God, where you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And I'm saying, God, burden me for a country. And I went to a place and they started talking about different places around the world. And I went to one session about a man who's going to speak about Colombia, South America. His name was Manuel. He was from Colombia and he was supposed to talk about the need in Colombia. And he sat there and he started talking about the need in Bolivia. He said, I don't know why I'm telling you this. He said, but God laid this upon my heart. He said, in 2008, Bolivia ran most of the missionaries out. Some stayed behind. And he's talking about the need of 11 million people. And he started talking about the need and the ones dying and going to hell. And I was sitting there the whole time saying, wow, somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to go there. Now, sometimes when we're sitting there saying somebody needs to go, God's laying it upon our heart right then. And I was sitting there the whole time for 45 minutes seeing the need in Bolivia. I went to a next session and the preacher got up and he started out with these words, what are you waiting on? And I said, all right, Lord, let me listen to what this man's saying. He said, maybe the Lord has spoke to your heart already that somebody needs to go somewhere. And he said, maybe you're sitting there right now saying, Lord, burden my heart for a certain place. And I'm sitting there thinking, this man knows all about me and I don't even know his name. And I sat there and started listening. And he said, when I read the Great Commission, it says, go ye therefore into all the world. He said, why are you waiting for a burden for a certain place? You see a need, go. And I started praying for that country of Bolivia at that moment. I didn't know much about Bolivia, and I said, where is Bolivia? So I done the good thing. I took out my phone, and I asked Google. Well, Google's a woman. She knows everything. I said, Google, where is Bolivia? Slap dead middle of South America. I started reading about the problems of Bolivia. We hear a lot about Venezuela. Bolivia is coming in right behind it. The president of Venezuela and the president of Bolivia are actually real good friends. They say they're third cousins, but they're very good friends, and he is a socialist trying to bring the country right behind Venezuela. Last year they tried to pass a law called a penal law where I cannot openly preach in Bolivia. Punishment up to 12 years in jail. And I had people calling me all over the country that knew I was going to Bolivia. And they said, "Brother Brian, are you still going?" I said, "Yes, I am." They said, "But you didn't, it was in the Sword of the Lord." They wrote the story about it in the Sword of the Lord. They said, "You didn't read this article in the Sword of the Lord?" I said, "I've heard about it." I said, "Let me tell you, my God's bigger than any man's law." I said, "I'm going to Bolivia because God burdened me for that country." We had the opportunity, saw in the video, to go down there and meet the people, and God just spoke to our heart, knitted our hearts together. I tell you this one last thing. Bolivia is supposed to be a land that I can't go in as a missionary. I have to go in. You're going to get a kick out of this because you hear my accent. I'm going in as an English teacher with a twang. You didn't know you ran into a Bolivian that spoke to me when they say, "Oh, Locke, almost stop," when they start speaking like me. But while we're going in down there, they told me when I came in, I went to a missionary that was there for 36 years to visit. He's not there anymore. He said, "Brother Hollis, whatever you do, when you're coming into the country, you have to fill out this form saying why you're coming in. Do not put missionary, mission work, or anything of that nature. Say you're visiting a friend." We had to have a letter from him saying we was coming to visit him. And when he got there, my pastor and my wife went with me. They both wrote, "Visiting a friend." I said, "All right, God, you want me here, show me. Shut the door down now. If this is not where I'm supposed to be, shut it." Reason for coming to the country, mission work. I walked up, my pastor went in first, my wife went right in front of me, we could not go in at the same time, and I was told, "You're probably going to get turned around at the gate and sent back to America." I walked up to him, handed him my paper, and I looked at him. He looked at it, 10-year visa, stamped. I can go into Bolivia for 10 years with no problem. That's God. We sat there, and I went and I started preaching that night. I preached three times there, meeting the people, and they pleaded. They said, "Brother Brian, don't leave." And I told my wife by Thursday night of that week, I said, "Go back and get the kids. I don't know how we're going to fund it, but God's bigger than this. I'm not leaving this country. God wants me here." That guy you saw in the video with my arm around, his name is Diego. I think about his name all the time because Dora the Explorer's friend, Diego. But he was sitting there. And he said, "Brother Brian," I mean, on his knees, my wife can tell you this, on his knees, he said, "Don't leave. My family needs you. My people need you. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ." He said, "We've been deceived." And I said, "Brother, I'll be back." We're waiting to get back to Bolivia, South America this year, planning on being there September of this year, and can't wait to get there. I'm going to tell you a little bit of this about me before I preach, because you said you don't know much about me. I'm an old Mississippi redneck. I was saved at the age of 23 years old. I was in church my whole life. Listen to me, young people, on this right here. I was in church doing the Bible quizzes. I knew I was in the speed drills. I can turn to any book of the Bible you wanted me to turn in, and I knew it. I knew the answers. I knew it all. But I was lost and on my way to hell. At the age of 23 years old, I was sitting there. My father's done been sick. At the age of 16, I was made to start paying my father and mother's bills off. He couldn't work anymore. And I would find myself sometimes saying, "God, why? God, if you're real," a man that's been in church the whole time knew all about God. "God, if you're real, why are you allowing this to happen to my father?" And I found myself working, and I paid off my mother and father's house. I got five older brothers and sisters, but I was the one they came to. They said they knew they can depend upon me. And I paid off my mother and father's house. I paid off their truck. They were debt free, and then I started making money. I realized, man, this money's nice. By the age I was 21, I was a licensed electrician making almost $2,000 a week, and I wanted more. I was making more and more money. I said, "Wow, man, this is great." The age of 23, September 19th, 2004, I got a phone call from my father. He said, "Son, I'm not doing very well today. Then I got used to him being sick. Then I got used to him going in and out of the hospital. I was on call. I could not go out there. I sent my wife out, my oldest two at the time, out the scene. And they came back and I said, "How's he doing?" They said, "He don't look good." I talked to him a few times that day at 2:30 that afternoon. He called me. He said, "Son, the home health nurse is coming." Well, she done been here, and she said, "My body is shutting down." 59 years old. He said, "I'm coming to the hospital in Greenwood, Mississippi." I said, "I'll meet you there, Daddy." I met him there, and I picked him up out the car. He ain't been able to walk for 3 years now, but he was still praising God. He was still giving God all the honor and credit that God deserves. Let me tell you, God deserves some good honor and credit from us today, because we serve a good God. And he was sitting there, and he's praising God. And I picked him up, and I carried him to a wheelchair. And my father grabbed hold of my shirt collar. I had a polo shirt on. And every time he grabbed hold, I'd pull his hand off. I was more worried about getting him in that hospital, getting him before he can come back home. And he grabbed hold, and I pulled off. And he grabbed hold, and I pulled off. Then my daddy said, "I love you, son." My daddy knew I loved him. I knew I loved my daddy. Me and my daddy were best friends. Then I heard my daddy say the last words he's ever said on this earth. He said, "God, help me." And my father passed into eternity that day right there in these hands. With me pulling his hands off of my shirt collar. And I sat there that day and I got to thinking, it wasn't about what Brian making money. It wasn't about what I was going to get. It was all about where I was going to spend eternity. And I realized that day I was on my way straight to hell. And I all realized that day that every time God tried to get a hold of me, God pretty much slapped me in the face. I would do the same thing and pull his hands off. I didn't want no part of it. But that day God said, "I'm the only way you ever see your father again." And that day I went back and I got to thinking about all them Sunday school teachers. If you're a Sunday school teacher in here, praise God, the kids do listen. And I got to thinking about the pastor I had. And I got to thinking about the times I read that Bible. And I got to thinking about the scriptures I used to turn to the speed drills and quote out to the teacher. And I remember, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I went back to the bed where my mom and daddy prayed for me in my bedroom. And I bowed my head. And I asked Jesus Christ to save my wretched soul. And that day, God gave me a fulfilling I've been looking for. I got saved, and I said, "God, I do whatever you want me to do. From this point on, God, I'm yours. Use me for your glory." And today I want to look at the Bible, and I want to just look at the life of Caleb. Caleb was a man the same way. He said, "I want to do whatever you want me to do, God." And I titled this message this morning, "I want God's best, and I won't settle for less." If you got your Bible, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 14. Joshua chapter number 14. We're going to look here at the life of Caleb this for a few moments. But this is Caleb in his older years. Joshua chapter number 14, verse number 6. You find your place, say amen, for I know you found it. Amen. We're going to start reading in verse number 6. It says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again that was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt.'" Notice this phrase here. "But I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord have kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain wherefore the Lord spake in that day, that thou heardest in that day that the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were great in fence. If so, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said.' And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, until this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house again this morning here at Bible Baptist Church. Lord, we do pray, Lord, for the pastor as he's traveling today. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd anoint him from on high this morning as he preaches at Brother John's church. Lord, give him traveling mercy back. But Lord God, this morning right here at Bible Baptist Church, Lord, I pray each and every one of us in here this morning would say, I want God's best and I won't settle for less. God, that they would say, I'm tired of doing what I want to do, but today I want to do God's will for my life. Lord, I pray that's our prayer today. Lord God, I pray, Lord, you just use me this morning. Lord, may you use me as a vessel for your word. Lord, I don't want people to see me standing here, but Lord, hear your word coming from my mouth. Not let one word come from my mouth that is not by God. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. What we're reading here is when Eleazar, the priest, were getting ready to, and the priest and Joshua, and we're all getting ready to divide out their promised land. They was getting ready to give the children of Israel the promised land that God has promised them. And right here, I get to hear this great message of Caleb saying, verse number 12, I want that mountain. He said, I want that mountain. That mountain we're going to look at this morning as God's best for our life. He said, I want what God wants for me. And this morning right here at Bible Baptist Church, we need to be the same way and say, I want what God wants for me and not what the world wants to put in my lap. But I want what God wants. This morning we need to have that zeal in our life to say, I want my mind to be as the mind is in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. I want us all to be working together for God's cause. I want God's best. I'm going to tell you this morning, first off, you're sitting in here, God has already given us His very best when He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, that died on that cross of Calvary. But He also has a best for your life. And here we're reading about it right here, and He's saying, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I got a plan for you. He said, I got a place for you. And what did Caleb say? I don't want it. No, he said, I want it. He said, I want that place. I want God's best for my life. And we're going to look at three ways, if we want God's best for our life, that we need to look towards the life of Caleb at this morning. We're going to look at what the Word of God says and how Caleb was had a zeal for doing what God wants. When God called me to that country of Bolivia, I said, I want God's best and I won't settle for less. I said, I'm going to get to that place that God wants me to be there. We need to have the same attitude right here at Bible Baptist Church this morning. I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't want to be going through life just hoping I got it right. I want to go through life knowing I'm in God's will. Because God's will is the safest place you ever be. Safest place? No, it's not really the safest place, but it's the best place you ever be. Sometimes we're in God's will, we're thrown into some hard times. We're thrown into some places where they might try to kill you. They might try to do different things to you. But I know the one that holds tomorrow. I don't have to worry about the problems because I know God. And Caleb said, I know who God is. I want you to think about first how Caleb was sitting there. We know Caleb and Joshua was the men that came back and gave that good report with Israel. How many men went to spy out Canaan? How many? We know the old song, 12. How many were bad? 10. And how many were good? 2. And that was Joshua and Caleb. And they came back and they gave that crew report. They said then, they said, we want that land. They said, hey, back when they was just 40 years old, they said, hey, Moses, that land where God told us we was going to be ours, that's a good place. Hey, that's a place where I want to be because that's where God wants me. And at that time, he was ready to fight right in at that moment and go in, was he not? He was ready to enter in at that moment. But there was 10 others that came back and gave a bad report. They came back and they made the heart of the people melt as we just read. And they started making the people think, surely we cannot have that place. There's giants there. The fences are great and tall. I mean, we can never get over it. And Caleb never forgot about it. Caleb said, God promised me that. and that's going to be mine. So number one, if we want God's best and we won't settle for less, we need to be committed. We need to be committed. The Bible says a phrase there in verse 8, 9, and 14 that I just read. There's a phrase right there that is very unique to Caleb. It says, verse number 8, it says, I wholly follow the Lord, my God. Verse number 9, has wholly followed the Lord, my God. Verse number 14, wholly follow the Lord, God of Israel. Man, praise God, we can wholly follow the Lord, my God. That's, I love to say that phrase right there. That's my God. Man, it's personal. Ain't he your God this morning? Don't you want to follow him? Caleb said, hey, I've wholly followed the Lord my God. That phrase is only mentioned 6 times in the whole Bible. 3 of them are right here. And 3 of them are back in Numbers when it's talking about Joshua and Caleb. Talking about their wholly followed God. Caleb's name actually meant wholehearted. Let me tell you today, God don't want no half-hearted devotions. He wants wholehearted servants. He wants somebody to say, God, I give you my whole heart. Not just part of it. See, we live in a day and time where people say, God, I give you some of my life. God, I give you Sundays and Wednesdays. But no, the rest of the week is mine. I mean, my favorite shows are on. I got my things I want to do. No, we need to say, God, it's your time in the first place. You just let me borrow it and I want to let you have what you want of it. Caleb said, I wholly follow the Lord my God. He said, I'm committed to it. And because he was committed to what God wanted for his life, it kept him going. I want you to picture, when I read my Bible, I picture what's going on. As I'm reading through any story of the Bible, I use my senses. I picture exactly what's going on as I'm reading it. I like to listen to the Bible at the same time as I'm reading it. I like to get my whole body involved in it. But as I'm picturing this right here, I'm picturing Caleb sitting there saying, I've been going by the years. He said, I was 40 years old when God told me that was going to be mine. He said, now here I am, 85 years old. Don't let anybody ever tell you you're too old to be used by God. He's saying, I'm 85 years old, and that's the only thing that kept me going. As I picture what Caleb had to go through for 40 years as he went through the wilderness. I mean, this picture with me for a moment. He went through the wilderness. We know how the children of Israel sat there and they listened to God, did they not? They wanted it their way. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They asked God several times, God, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? We was fine there. They're going to kill us out here. They doubted God. And he got to go through for 40 years and he had people, brother, he had people sitting there saying, man, why is God doing this? He's had family members falling by the wayside. He saw loved ones dying, but he had a promise from God. He had a promise. He had a land that God said, that's going to be yours forever. And he said, I'm committed to God's calling on my life. He said, I want God's best, and I'm not selling for nothing less. He said, I'm not going to let these problems coming around me distract me. I'm not going to let the things that are coming in my life or my friends and family falling by the wayside distract me because I got a promise from God of heaven and I'm committed to it. Commitment's a big word nowadays. People don't really like to be committed to much at all. Caleb said, I'm committed to God. We have a promise and he's going to give me that land. Ain't you glad this morning? Right here, we got a promise from God. You're in here this morning and you're saved and you done accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and that blood has washed away your sin. You got a promise from God. You got a home in heaven. And God's got a place for you. And we got something that look to keep us from all the distractions around us. And praise God for that. But Caleb is saying, I have a promise from God that this is going to be mine. I don't have to worry about what's going on around me. I'm committed. My whole heart is in doing God's will. How's your heart this morning? Are you halfway willing to follow God? Are you willing to give it all to God? The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Is that what it says? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I think Caleb had that down pat. He said, I'm wholehearted, follow God. Man, and I don't understand why, but he does. He said, I'm going to follow this path. One step at a time. It might take 45 years, but I'm going to follow this path one step at a time, following God, and praise God he got to see the reward. And he's getting there right now, and he's getting to stand there at the day where Eleazar the priest and Joshua are sitting there, and they're saying, "But listen, divide this place." Now I just want you to picture this 85-year-old man sitting there now. And they said, "Here we are, children of Israel. We got this place." And that memory, that thought that's kept him committed for all these years came right back to mind. And Caleb said, hey, whoa, 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 I want that mountain. He said, God promised me that mountain. He said, I want God's best for my life. I want to be where God wanted me in the first place. I don't want nothing else. He said, it kept me going for years, and praise God. Let's be committed to God this morning. Number two, we know we got to be committed to God, but we need to be confident in God. Notice what it said in verse number 9 again. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou have wholly followed the Lord thy God. He didn't doubt God one time. He was confident in believing God. Let me ask you, does God keep his promises? He never lets us down. We cannot depend upon man all the time. We can trust in God. And I trust every word of that book. And I believe every promise in that book, because my God is not a liar. And my God keeps his word. The Bible says he is the Lord. He changes not. Praise God. I can believe my God. And Caleb said, I'm confident. I believe God's going to give me that land. He said, I'm not worried about anything else, because I believe in my God. You trust your God this morning? When we started going, called to the country of Bolivia, and I said, wow, how are we going to get there? I had to believe that God was able. We started deputation this June of last year. We're a little over 85% supported already. Saying, oh, praise God. Our God is big. Our God is good. But praise God, I trust my God. I told my pastor when we started, he said, when you plan on getting to the field? I said, next year. I said, God laid it upon my heart. I said, Pastor, there's souls that are dying and going to hell. You heard on the video, every day 44 people die. Every day 21 people are born every day. You just heard that. That's souls that are slipping off into eternity, and you're sitting there, and I'm going to tell you what the Lord lays upon my heart. One day I was driving, I used to drive for FedEx Ground, and I was driving down the road, and I was sitting there saying, wow, God, you just laid this upon my heart. And I got to thinking about how guilty I was for every soul that I ran into that I did not witness to. Like, God might have laid something upon my heart, and I didn't say nothing. And then I got to thinking about them people in Bolivia. And I got to thinking about them poor souls standing before the God in heaven. And I told you, I picture stuff. Sometimes it gets me in trouble. But I was sitting there, and I was picturing them poor souls standing before the God of heaven, saying, what, God, did you not love me enough? God, why didn't I get to know about this? God, why didn't I know that Jesus Christ is the one that paid it all? And I sat there, and I thought about that. It ain't God's fault. It's ours. Who did he give the Great Commission to? The local church. We ain't doing our part. And I said, God, I get there, and I'm going to tell them souls about Jesus Christ. I want to see as many souls saved, and I was confident that my God was going to get me there. Caleb right here was confident, and that kept him going. And lastly, number three, if we want God's best and we won't settle for less, we need to realize there's going to be some conquests. There's going to be some battles. Notice what it said in verse number 11 right there again. As yet I am as strong this day, I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day that the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were great in fence. If so, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Notice what we're reading here. And I told you, I picture what's going on. And here Caleb is saying, hey, I'm just as strong now as I was 45 years ago. And I told you I picture what's going on, and sometimes it gets me in trouble. I picture this 85-year-old man taking his walker, throwing it to the side and saying, "Woo! I got this, not because of who I am, but because of who God is." Verse number 12, and said, "Even so, the Lord will be with me." He said, "I know my God is able." He said, "There's going to be some battles." He said, "But I'm ready for them." He said, "There's going to be some heartache. There's going to be some trials. But my strength is just as big now as it is then. Because I have the same amount of faith in God today as I had in 45 years ago." Are you willing to trust God today? Do you believe your God can get you through any trial? Caleb is listening to face some Amalekites. What's an Amalekite? A giant. The sons of Anak. Goliath. I mean, he's listening to face a giant. What's a giant? Anybody? I'm going to give you the Mississippi redneck version. Anything bigger than you are. Pretty simple. Some of us are facing giants today. Some of us might be facing some giants of financial problems, health problems. We might be facing some giants called Satan. We're always facing him. We're in a spiritual warfare every day of our life. But we need to realize that God's with us. And we should be this as strong now as we were the day that God saved us. We need to have the same amount of faith that God placed in us that day that we believed in Jesus Christ to get us to heaven. We need to have that same strength in us today saying, "Man, praise God, that same God that can save me from that place called hell is the same one that keeps me safe in everyday life. My God don't let me down. My God don't ever leave me alone. My God will never leave me nor forsake me." And praise God for that today. Man, Caleb said, "I trust God." And he said, "I'm ready to face them old giants. I'm ready to go up against them." And they said, "Well, what about them old great big fences?" He said, "Man, I'll jump right over them because my God's able to put me over the top. My God's the maker of all anyhow." He said, "My God can get me through it." He was ready to face them giants. He was ready to face them trials. Not because how big and strong Caleb himself was. Because he knew how big and strong and mighty and good and gracious our loving God was. And he said, "Praise God, my God's going to get me through." And I want you to think what the people around him was probably thinking at that moment. This man is crazy. I mean, that's probably what the people thought. I mean, they done been deceived one time out of 10 that came back and gave the false report. And now they're sitting here seeing this 85-year-old man saying, "I want that mountain. I want God's best. I'm just as strong today as I was then." He said, "I'm not backing down. You taught me how to go in once, but I'm going in this time." He said, "I'm going to have it. I want that mountain." And the people sitting there saying, "Wow, this guy has done flipped his lid. He is crazy." No, this guy trusted God. And what a vision, or what a example, I guess you would say, that is for us today. If we put our trust and faith in God, there's no giant that we can't come over. If we put our faith and trust in God, there's no wall that we can't climb. Hey, praise God today. We can face them trials, some conquests in our life if we believe God is able. I'm going to tell you a trial that I had. When I started looking at the country of Bolivia, I started looking at the language. There is 37 languages in the country of Bolivia. The three main ones are Arawak, Quechua, and Spanish. Spanish being the prominent language. And I'm an old Mississippi redneck and barely speak English. And I was going through some studying, and they told me there's three things you need to do. I was sitting in a class, and they told me there's three things you need to be able to do if you can learn a language. I said, "Well, I better take notes right here. I need to be able to learn a language to speak to these people." This is a giant that I was facing. Didn't think I was able to. Number one, they said you need to be under the age of 25 years old. X that one off. Number two, you need to be musically inclined. You need to be able to hear music. I said, "I barely can play a radio." X that one off. Number three, they said you cannot be from the South. I said, "What in the world?" And I sat there and I said that out loud. And the teacher said, "What, Brother Hollis?" I said, "I'm not worried about it." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because I serve a big God." "Hola, como está mi amo Brian, y tú?" They said, "You can't do it." They said it can't be done. Solo Jesus salvar. Only Jesus saves. Hey, that one just said, "You can't do it because of these problems." My God says, "Believe in me and I see you through it." We just need to say, I trust God. I believe God. Caleb said, I'm committed to God's calling. I'm willing to trust in my God. Now, I love to sing that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. He said, I believe my God. I trust my God. I'm going to obey my God. And he said, these trials are coming, and I'm ready to step up to them. He said, my God's way, or will, is perfect. Or way. I meant to say way. My God's way is perfect. See, some of us sit there and we say, I'm waiting on God. And I want God to show me what he wants to do right now. What an example right here. Caleb waited 45 years to see that promised land that God promised him. He said, God's way is perfect. Even might have to face some giants. And if you want to know the end of the story, just look right over to chapter number 15, verse number 14. It says, and Caleb drew thence the sons of Anak. He drove them out just like God said he would. He faced them giants head on and he pushed them right out. He believed his God was able. And he said, man, here I am. And I get to see the apex of this promise that God's given me. Man, what a glorious day it is. God's way has been perfect. But let me tell you, not only is God's way perfect, but God's will is perfect. We know the book of Romans. I love, if anybody ever asked me to sign their Bibles, I put Romans 12, 1 and 2 right above my name. I love them verses. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now that word beseech means beg. Paul is telling the Roman church, I'm begging you, therefore, brethren. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Praise God. God wants us to be a living sacrifice for him. He don't want us to be dead beat on the log, not doing nothing. He wants us to be physically working for his honor and glory. But I love the last part of verse number 2. It says, Ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, for ye can prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. What kind of will of God? Perfect. He said, hey, not only is God's way perfect, but God's will is perfect, and I want God's best. I'm going to end with telling you this story. Anybody ever heard of a missionary called Nate Saint? Anybody at all? Couple of us. Not many people ever heard about the missionary called Nate Saint. Anybody ever heard of Jim Elliot? A lot more. Elizabeth Elliot. We heard about them names. We heard them. But Nate Saint was actually one of the missionaries that died on that sandbar that day with Jim Elliot. There was actually 5 missionaries that died that day on that sandbar in Ecuador when they laid their life down for the cause of Christ. We don't hear much about Nate, but I heard about the story of this one reporter that wanted to do a story on old Nate Saint. And he went to this place and he started reading papers and found out where Nate Saint died. He said, I gotta go to Ecuador. I gotta see the place where Nate Saint died. And he went down to Ecuador and he started looking for somebody to fly him out to that sandbar and show him the exact place where Nate Saint died. About 3 days went by and a man came up to him. He said, I'll take you where Nate Saint died. The reporter got all excited. He said, praise God, I want to see the place where Nate Saint laid his life down. He said, I know there was 4 others there, but I want to see that place. I'm going to report on Nate Saint. They jumped in an airplane, and they flew off. And as they was coming to the sandbar, that reporter started looking at his map and his GPS and all. And he said, there's the place right over there. That's where Nate Saint died. And the guy said, that's not where Nate Saint died. The pilot. That reporter kind of looked puzzled. He said, sir, I'm looking at it right here. X marks the spot. There's the riverbed. There's the sandbar. There's the tree line. This is the place where Nate Saint died. The pilot again said, that's not the place where Nate Saint died. Puzzled, the reporter said, well, turn around and go back over one more time. Come in treetop high. I have got to see the place where Nate Saint died, and I'm pretty sure that's it. They came back around, and they came in treetop high. And that reporter was looking at everything again, and he said, listen, pilot, that's the place where Nate Saint died. That pilot this time had tears in his eyes. He said, that's not the place where Nate Saint died. The reporter looked at him confused again. He said, what do you mean? He said, let me tell you, I was there when Nate Saint died. And the reporter looked at him and said, "Sir, you don't understand. Everybody in that party that day was killed, martyred for the cause of Christ. You was not there when that saint died." He said, "I wasn't not there that day when that saint died physical, but I was there when he died spiritually." He said, "See, I went to college with Nate Saint." He said, "And on a Tuesday night, Nate came into the dorm room. And he said, there's a revival going on right down the road." He said, and he asked me if I wanted to go. He said, "We went down there and the pastor preached a message on dying to self and living for Christ." He said, "It's a little mediocre message." He said, "At the end of that message, he done an old invitation call." I love invitation calls. And he said, "I heard somebody at an old-fashioned altar just like this, sitting up there weeping. And I looked up, and I saw Nate up beside me. I looked at that altar, and there Nate was with the preacher right beside him." He said, "And that's the place where Nate Saint died." He said, "That day, Nate said, 'God, I do whatever you want me to do. God, I go wherever you want me to go. God, I do what anything you send me to do, I do it.'" He said, and he died to self, and he started being a living sacrifice for Christ. He said, that's why he was able to die physically on that sandbar in Ecuador, because he died spiritually to himself. He said, "God, it's not my life, but yours. Use me for your honor and glory." He said, "Man, and God done great things with him. Souls came to know Jesus Christ in that South American rainforest. Yeah, his life got taken, but he is exactly where God wanted him." Nate said, "I want God's best. I won't settle for less." Caleb said, "I want God's best. I won't settle for less." Let me ask you today, will you say, "I want God's best? I'm not settling for nothing less." Let me ask you one last question. You might say, "Brother Brian, don't you believe that God's a permissive God?" I tell you, I believe God gives us second and third chances, but why would you want God's third best, fourth best, fifth best this morning when you have God's very best? You can be exactly what God wants you to be if you just be surrendered to saying, "I want God's best. And I'm not settling for less." Bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Maybe we're sitting here this morning, and you're saying, "There's some giants in my life. There's some things that I've been facing." And you say, "This morning God laid upon my heart that says, I want God's best, and I know my God is able to help me through these trials, these giants." Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart this morning. You say, "Preacher, will you pray for me? There's some giants in my life, and I need somebody to pray for me that God would allow me to trust Him on it." Anybody at all, would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me, preacher"? Amen. 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 God's able. What verse number 12 say? "Even so, the Lord will be with me." Praise God for that. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, "Preacher, I don't trust God the way I should. I'm not confident the way I should be in God's power." Man, I sit there this morning and I thought about Caleb and how he was confident in his God. And this morning God spoke to my heart. And I realized this morning, I can trust God with anything and everything in my life. Lord spoke to your heart this morning. This moment we're going to have an altar call. I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to ask you one more question though. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, "Brother Brian, as you was preaching, and you said a very specific thing in the very beginning. God gave His very best when He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, that died on that cross of Calvary. But this morning, Brother Brian, I don't know for sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If I was to die today, I'm not 100% sure that I would see that place called heaven. Brother Brian, would you pray for me? I don't know I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know." Anybody in the congregation now say, "That's me, preacher. I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know today." Would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. That Lord, we can trust Him and believe Him. Take Him at His word. Caleb done it. We need to do the same today. As the piano is going to begin to play, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. The Lord spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, "God, I trust You. I'm committed. I'm confident. I believe You're able. Or maybe you just need to take somebody, have someone take the Word of God and show you for sure you're on your way to heaven. Whatever it is, I invite you to come this morning. That song plays, "All to Jesus I Surrender." Do you surrender it all to Jesus this morning? He gave it all for you.